Heavenly Father, from the beginning of everything, even before the world was created, you had us in your heart. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of 2017, to understand that all those who live, it is according to your will. Heavenly Father, in your word, you speak about how you created everything. In your word, Heavenly Father, you speak about your character. You are a good Father. You are a loving Father. Help us to understand that as I preach your word today. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Friends, yesterday I saw a writing on a poster. This writing says, 2017, oh, what a year. What would you think the person who wrote that had in mind? Some would think that the person who wrote that, he had blessings and a very good life. Some would think the person who wrote that, he had a terrible year. Then he can't wait to cross over to 2018 and have the blessings. Friends, there is a culture and habit amongst us during this time of the year where most of us, we do the well wishes. Families gather together and exchange gifts. Friends at work, they share gift. But I'm certain, friends, that there is one thing which is missing. As I've noticed this culture carrying on and carrying on. Families, they do not tell their loved ones how to get a good life or how to get the blessings. So as I look to this book today, I want to fill that missing link. What I'll be talking about today is that blessings or good life comes from one person, the triune God. Maybe some, they would think that even the gods can give good life. Even they may think that even human beings could give good life. But the only person who can give good life is the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. The one who said in the beginning, six times in Genesis, it is good. After creating man, he said it is very good. Which shows that he's the only one who's perfect. He's the only one who can give us the divine blessings. So this is what I want us today. Before we go out, we know what divine blessings are and where they come from. They only come from that triune God. In Genesis 1 to 11, that is chapter 11 to 1, people have fallen, but the good God keeps on going to them with his goodness. At every point when they fail, he came with his goodness. In Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, he chose one man and said to this man, all the families of the earth shall receive blessing through you. He was referring to Jesus Christ. Then in the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is about Christian life. But in the verses that we have read, we see that triune God bringing those blessings to his people. Verses 3 reads, "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Friends, what I want us to notice here, even from this very verse, the fullness of God is involved. The fullness of God is involved. What you see here, when Paul speaks to God the Father is the one who initiated our salvation. God the Son is the one who fulfills our salvation. God the Spirit is the one who applies the work of the Father and the work of the Son to us. Without these three persons from the Godhead, we will not be saved, friends. Look to what Paul says. He says, "Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word praise is same as the word blessed. In the NIV, they wrote praise. But when you look to other versions, ESV, the word that comes there, it's blessed. What does it mean? It means that Paul, he's praising God for Ephesians. Because Ephesians now, they didn't know Christ, but now they're in Christ. When he says blessed us in the heavenly realms, also we need to look into that. What does he mean when he says in the heavenly realms? There, he's speaking of the world which we do not see. The world which is beyond our realm. The world of God and angels. When he says with every spiritual blessing, I want this to be clear with these friends, because people, they think when we talk of these spiritual blessings, we talk of material things. Here, God is talking about redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He's talking about wisdom and understanding. He's talking about election and predestination. Those, nobody can give you those blessings. Only the divine God, the triune God, who can give those blessings. So here we see that in verses 4, that he chose us from the beginning, before the world was created. That it was in the heart of God to bless his people. Even after the fall, some people, they think that during the fall, God has cursed human beings. You can go and read chapter 3. God has never cursed human beings. But what he only do, they subjected them to hardship. And he cursed only the ground. But he never cursed human beings. He never cursed human beings. Why God chose us? He chose us to be his people, to be blameless. So in other words, it was in the heart of God to have won his people, to be ruled by his word. Secondly, to be at his place. That is why you find God, he goes out and fulfills what he said to Abraham. When he says, your children will be slaves in a foreign land. But God made a promise and say, I will march out and take your people, your children out of that world. What God is saying here, he was saying he want his people to live a holy life. He want his people to be his people, to live according to his rule. Hence, he's saying to Exodus 19, they are his treasured possession. They are his treasured possession. These friends didn't happen by chance. It was in the heart of God to have his own people. To have his own people. Why God had his own people? How did God have his own people? If we look to God the Father, here we're talking about God the Father from verses 3 to 6. God the Father is a father by creation. He is also a father by covenant, which he was a father to Israel. He is a father to us by adoption, which means we were not deserving to be his children, but God came out for us. And he adopted us and included us into his family. Into his family. Into his family. Why God did he do that in verses 6? Verse 6 says, to the praises of his gracious, to the praises of his glorious grace. Which means that God, the reason why he saved us, it is not for ourselves. There is a tendency even within the Christendom that people, they think that when they are saved, it is for themselves. That is why we find today the prosperity gospel. It is because people, they thought that God, when he saved them, it was for their own sake. But the Bible says it was for his glorious name. God honors his name. God loves his name. So he called us to take refuge under his name. Under his name. There is a tendency in this world of a biased thinking. Always people, when they come or they become the Christians, they think it's all about them. But friends, I want to tell you the truth is, it is not about you. It is about God. When your praises go up to God, then his blessings comes down to you. His blessings come down to you. It is only the work of God the Father who initiated our salvation. Verses 7 to 8. Verses 7 to 12. Now, if we notice, even from the previous verses, 3 to 6, there is a repetition on an echoing which says, in him, in him, in him. It's repeated many times. Here the writer is trying to tell us that even though God the Father has predestined us to be his own children, to belong in his family, but that he cannot do without God the Son. Then now in these verses, we are getting to the work of God the Son. Friends, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you may write your resolution. Or you do your proper planning for 2018. But I want to tell you the truth is, you will fail. You will fail. What is our enemy is not what we lack. But there is one thing that we lack. We lack cleansing. Our enemy's friends. Sin is our number one enemy. Death, second enemy. World, the third enemy. Flesh, the fourth enemy. All these enemies, we cannot conquer them on our own. Only Christ Jesus who can conquer sin and death. Then here what verse 7 says in him we have redemption. That is Christ Jesus is the one who redeemed us. Why did he redeem us? He died for us. He suffered for us. His blood cleans us from sin. His work on the cross is the one that unites us to God. Without Christ coming on earth and took a human flesh, we would be dead in our sins. God sent Jesus Christ to die for us. That is why you find here a repetition in him, in him, in him. What does that mean? That means to us, if we want to have blessings for 2018, our focus should be on one person, to the beloved Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Why did God save us in Christ? If, friends, you remember, there were two men who were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus in Luke. Those disciples, they ran away from Jerusalem. Why they did that? What they saw in Jerusalem was amazing, was even terrifying to them. Seeing the place that God has ordained as the place where he dwells, but this place now is killing the prophets of God. Christ's disciples, after his death, they ran away from Jerusalem. But fortunately, on the way to Emmaus, Jesus Christ came to them and he had a chat with them. And he told them that, you know, your problem is you don't understand scripture. Why am I giving this verse? Is that it's only Christ who can open your eyes for salvation. He's the only one. When you look to the work that he has done, then you will get a wonder and see the really love of God. God can send someone that he loves so much to die for you. This reminds me of a young man who was a soldier. His commander gave him a command, take a cover. But after the commander noticed that the man is not willing to take a cover, he pulled him with his legs. After pulling him with his legs, then the bullet flashed through his head, but he was saved. After coming back from the battlefield, this young man went straight to the commander and asked him, "What can I do for you?" Listen to what the commander said. The commander said to him, "I've got only one daughter, and my years have advanced in age. She is a loving and a caring daughter. But if I would die without having someone taking my daughter as a wife, I would go to my grave with grief." Then the young man, what he did, he took the daughter of his commander. That was the only thing that he could do. He could not do more than that. The commander who saved his life. Friends, there is nothing that we can do for God except that we allow him to mold us and bring into a meaningful relationship. Because this young man, he became a son-in-law of his commander. That is the only way that we can thank God, is to accept Jesus Christ, the one who redeemed us, the one who forgave our sin, the one who gave us wisdom and understanding, so that we be accepted back to God. Without the work on the cross, we were not going to be accepted or adopted back to God. It was only through Christ that now we have been called the children of God. What does Christ exactly does for us? Verses 10 to 12. Christ is the anchor of our life. Everything on earth and in heaven has been united to him. Even himself, he is led by God. So what he's doing to us, all the blessings that Christ used to have with God the Father, he mediated those blessings to us. What kind of blessing are these? Are the ones that Paul spoke about in verses 3. Christ gave us redemption. That is blessing number one. Not food or shelter. Blessing number two. Christ cleanses us. He bought us from the market of sin. He didn't only bought us from the market of sin, but he gave us also the insight so that we should see the will of God. Without Christ, that is why Christ is the apex or the center or the axis of the salvation history. Without Christ, we would be still dead in our sins. What does that mean for me and you? As you move to 2018, make Christ be your number one blessing. Brothers, Christ said at some point to his disciples, Matthew chapter 6, verses 44, "Seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. all these other things will be added. He even said to them, to seek the material blessings, it is paganism. So if friends, we take material blessings and we place them at the bottom of our heart, that is unbelief. The only thing that we should do, as we know that Christ died for us, we should make him our first goal for 2018. Verses 13 to 14. The work of the Holy Spirit. Friends, one of the theologians has called the Holy Spirit the bond that unites the work of the Father and the work of the Son. What he does in these verses, he does two things for us. He gives us a seal. That is, what does it mean that he gives us a seal? He certifies our adoption. Without the work of the Spirit, friends, we will never be the children of God. We need the Holy Spirit to be the children of God. Number two, he guarantees us our eternal hope. It is the one who leads us to our eternal inheritance. He's the one who protects us. He's the one who preserves us. He will preserve our souls to eternity. Without the triune God, friends, I want it to be clear to us that the only God who can give us divine blessing, it's one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. All those other gods that are worshipped by other group of people, no matter who they are, I want to tell you that their blessings are not permanent. They are temporal. Their blessings are not really. The real blessings are the blessings that come from God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. What he gives us, once we've got those blessings, he gives us a direction to our eternal hope, which is kept for us in heaven. I remember one song when I was preparing my sermon. It's a Zulu song which says, Ifa lethu ligcinwe emazulwini. Ifa lethu ligcinwe emazulwini. Which means in English, our inheritance is kept in heaven safely. No thief can touch it. Nobody can touch it. Is that not amazing, friends? Indeed, to know that our God, the God who chose us before the world began, the God who moves us, who moved up to history and sent his Son, the God who always keeps us through his Spirit under his shadow, he has kept us. For he has kept an inheritance for us in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for knowing that you have kept for us an inheritance that will never be taken from us. An inheritance that, Father, even if God, the angels of heaven would love to take that inheritance from us. You appointed them, Father, to give salvation to us. Heavenly Father, may every one of us, as he looked to 2018, have only one thing in mind, that he will make Christ his blessed Savior. So that in everything, Heavenly Father, as he moves through the year, he gathers strength from you. You guide him into all righteousness. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.